Well, I've seen him on Jeopardy again this week. The reruns are going, and he still does very well. And that is CSN's Bay Area, Andy Baggerly. Andy, good morning.
Hey, Marty, good morning. You know, it's funny, I didn't think they'd rerun it more than once. I think this is about the fourth time. If you happen to see it and I'm wearing a tie, just turn it off, because that's the one where I go down in flames.
I know, that's the trampoline. I know that's the one. But it was great seeing, you know, I was just in downtown San Francisco and walked by a store and looked up at the TV and there you were. I mean, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's been a surprise and a nice way to kind of relive it again. You know, it was spring training last year when we taped the episodes, and then I had to keep it secret until about the end of July that year. And so for them to sort of still be lollygagging about and on TV every now and again, and then I hear from people, it's fun. It's fun to kind of relive it a little bit.
Right, and that is, of course, Andy, a three-time champion on Jeopardy before the fourth one. You know, there used to be an old TV show called The Millionaire, and they'd give someone $1 million, but if you told that who gave it to you and this kind of stuff, they take the money back, and that was part of the show. In Jeopardy, what would happen if you told people how you did on the show?
You know, I'm not sure. You do have to sign a confidentiality form that you don't put anything on social media or anything like that, and obviously I'm, you know, on TV or writing every day, so I had plenty of chances to kind of, you know, put it out there, but they get real... You know, they make it very clear that you understand not to put it on Facebook or Twitter. I mean, everybody can publish these days. Everybody can be a public figure. So, you know, they got to be even more protective because it's a syndicated show too. So, you know, they not only do they have their outcomes at stake, but all the people who pay for the programming. So, you know, I wasn't going to test it. Let's put it that way.
Well, bring the contract in. I want to read it. I want to know what the penalty is. I'd like, you know, there's not much going on at the ballpark these days, so I'd like to see it. But, all right, let's talk baseball with Andy. September call-ups, people who kind of write their ticket into the big leagues in September or out of their big leagues in September. Giants have a lot of people sort of on that bubble. Give me a little bit of an analysis of that.
Well, I think that you look for guys who can help you in September. And, you know, often those are the same kind of guys. You need a third catcher if you don't have one already. You need some extra arms. You know, basically looking for ways you can, you know, protect yourself as you go through the rest of the season. If you want to try to cut down on the pitches on, you know, that Kane would throw or Bumgarner would throw, then you have other guys who could step in, Mike Kickham or what have you, that could take the ball in the fourth or fifth inning if you need them to. And, you have an extra catcher if, you know, in case something were to happen to your first two guys. And, you know, those are the sort of people that you give call-ups to. And then there are the people who just had good seasons that you want to reward for working really hard or for making adjustments or that you want to kind of give a tip of the cap to. And sometimes that's a factor when you hand out those non-roster invites to big league camp as well. You know, somebody who's rehabbed really hard or like a Brock Bond in the minor leagues who's just been a real overachiever everywhere he's been and has gone about his business the right way. So, you know, you don't just bring up everybody because then it can get crowded. It's hard to get work for people. They have to start batting practice about 20 minutes earlier because they have an extra group. You know, and I think that means more time on the field for the pitcher shagging, and it can be very tedious if you just have everybody that you possibly can call up. You know, especially if you've got a trip to a place like Wrigley Field in September where you can barely get 25 guys in that little clubhouse. So, you know, I don't think that the Giants, they don't call up everybody just to call them up. They kind of look to see, okay, who really deserves it and who do we really need?
All right. Well, first of all, I say not much happening at the ballpark. A lot happening at the ballpark. I almost had a perfect game on Friday night. A lot of defense, an exciting 2-1 game last night. There is stuff happening, and I know Friday night you and I had dinner. We talked about Yusmeiro Petit, and I said, here he is. And he went out there and almost made history. What a night for him.
Well, and you know what's funny is I'll do my pregame hit, and then I'll come upstairs and got to rush through, get something to eat. And normally I'll watch maybe the first inning or two from the dining room on television, then go down and watch from the press box the rest of the game, start my instant replay story and everything. So I got down after two innings, and Carl Stewart of Bay Area News Group turned around and said, hey, if you need any notes on the first two innings for that Petit perfect game story, just let me know. And he said it tongue-in-cheek, of course, but it kind of reminded me a little bit of Jonathan Sanchez's perfect game. I mean, until he was basically on the cusp of it, I don't think anybody thought he was going to actually do it. And for Petit, even after he got that catch from Perez in the sixth, he still had, you know, nine more outs to go. And about the eighth inning, I thought, wow, you know what? He's just pumping strikes. You know, the Diamondbacks have no choice but to swing. Didn't even have a three-ball count until Montero there with two outs in the eighth. And he was getting calls, too. So I thought, gosh, he's going to do this. And then I have a story ready to go saying, hey, here's a perfect game, here's history. And then, boom, you got to rewrite everything really fast. So it made for a very adventurous night for me trying to write this one up.
Who won the no-hit pool? And the people should know that when you get to about the fourth inning and no one's gotten a hit, the cards go out and you get 1 through 9 and someone wins a few bucks on a no-hit pool. Who won it?
Yeah, that would be Jeremy Kahn of the sports radio group, but he had number 9.
Okay.
You don't want to draw the number 9 card because that means it's the pitcher generally. And if you draw the Joker, then that's the no-hitter or perfect game in this case. And the number you draw is the slot in the batting order that would break it up. And you know, it's just little stakes, put in $5 each, and somebody walks away with 50. So Jeremy Kahn had number 9, and not a good number, but he turned out to be a lucky one for him. And Henry Shulman, by the way, had the Joker. So he was the one who would have benefited if Petit had thrown the perfect game.
So he must have, I'd hate to see his tweets after that. Complaining, I'm sure. No, Henry, we know. All right. Now, what does this do for Petit? What does this do for him?
Oh, well, not only for Petit. I mean, you saw the way he reacted. It's still a one-hit shutout and quite an accomplishment. You know, the only other complete game thrown by a Giant all season was Tim Lincecum's no-hitter. Kane hasn't thrown a perfect or a complete game all year. Bumgarner hasn't thrown a complete game all year, so there's that. The last time you go back and find a guy who completed the 9-inning game on fewer than 95 pitches, it was Mark Portugal in 1994. So, you know, the fact that he was not only throwing everything for strikes, but was just so efficient, you know, was, and it shows that he can pitch in this ballpark. And I think that you, if you're a strike thrower and you can keep guys off balance a little bit, then you can have some success in this ballpark. And I think Ryan Vogelsong has shown that over the previous couple of years when he's been right. And you know, I don't think that you take this and you say, well, okay, we're going to hand the ball to Yusmeiro Petit 33 times next year. Maybe he's in camp as a guy who's got to, be a long reliever and look for opportunities. But I'll tell you what, I think that he's really enhanced his opportunity to make this club next year based on what he's done, not only in that one hitter, but in his couple starts before that, too. And the other guy that I think it does wonders for is Hector Sanchez. I mean, you know, this is a guy who was looking at a wasted year with his shoulder, was really bothering him. You know, he went back to the minors, wasn't hitting. Now he's come back. He had a couple 3-run homers on consecutive days on that last road trip. And now he's caught a near perfect game. And then you had Vogelsong the other day saying, hey, you know what? I made a mistake. This is on me. I shook Hector too much and he was making good calls. So when you hear that from a veteran pitcher like Vogelsong, you start to kind of think, wow, Hector's really putting it together. He's becoming a pretty good major league catcher. And we all know he had a lot of work to do. So he's getting something out of this season, which was looking like it would be kind of a wasted year for him, and that's got to be bode well for the future as well.
Well, good to talk baseball with Andy Bagley at CSN Bags with 2 G's on Twitter. You know, thinking about it, I talked to Ron Wotus a little bit about it, but what's the future of Hector Sanchez? Because I think he's been terrific in the last month or so. I don't even think anything about him when he's behind the plate. I just figure he's going to go catch a decent game. So how does he fit into all this?
Well, I tell you what, if you have a pretty good switch-hitting backup catcher that you like putting out there, that you don't feel you lose a lot when you put him out there, it really makes it easier to give Buster Posey breaks and, you know, put him at first base more, which is something we didn't see a lot of this season. And Brandon Belt, obviously, you don't want to take his bat out of the lineup. But, you know, I really think that the Giants have more options now if they have Hector as a guy who they feel good about putting in there for, you know, 40, 50 games or something like that. Because we've seen Buster wear down this year. It's been quite a sequence of events, all the rehab work coming back and then, you know, catching a World Series winner all the way to November. And then, you know, as Henry calls it, the rubber chicken circuit, and go and get all your awards and do everything and, you know, all the commercial stuff he does as well. And he's smart. He'll dial back where he has to dial back. But I think we've seen it in the second half with just one home run that You know, he has bogged down. You'd have to imagine fatigue is a pretty major part of that. And obviously the Giants need Buster Posey to be productive day in and day out. So, you know, maybe they find ways that they can, you know, move him a couple days a week and give Hector more starts and keep Buster's bat fresh through the year. That I'm guarantee you that's something that they're going to discuss this winter as they look back on this season.
Yeah, I think so. And Hector's still a pretty young catcher. You know, as opposed to someone who's 28 or 26 where he's got to make his name. He still has another year or two to really make his name, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And you know, one thing, in Miami, he had a really bad game and some pitches got by him. And he looked gassed, and he admitted he was gassed. He said, you know, that he was just tired because it was humid in the ballpark there, even though it was contained with the roof closed. It was still pretty hot. And, you know, the Giants have sort of dropped hints here and there going back to spring training that they weren't too happy with his conditioning. So, you know, that's probably a good wake-up call for him as well, that he's going to have to just be in better condition so he can be completely locked in, mentally focused on every pitch and have 100% effort, you know, from the first inning to the ninth. And like you said, he's a young guy. He's got no excuse but not to be in a tip-top shape.
All right, Andy, one more thought for you before we let you go. I know you're on your way to the ballpark. The 40-man roster becomes interesting to me because there are a lot of people up here, and I wonder, do you keep Kieschnick on a roster, Nick Noonan on a roster, Perez on the 40-man, Pagaro on the 40-man, Johnny Monell on the 40-man. Do all these people just come back and it's business as usual next year?
Well, you know, there are some guys who are going to drop off. There are guys like
Bill,
you know, Barry Zito, and you know, there's a number of guys who will be free agents, and some of them they may re-sign. I think they're going to try hard to re-sign Lincecum, Pence, and Javier Lopez, but there are always guys who do fall off and you find room. There are a couple guys still that they have to protect from the Rule 5 draft that you add to the 40-man, but there's not a ton of them, really. The two that come to mind are Gary Brown and Adam Duvall, the third baseman. Guys out of that draft class who were college signees will be eligible to be plucked away. And, you know, actually, they didn't add Monell last year, and they could have lost him. I thought they were in the Rule 5 draft, and they ended up not losing him. Pretty fortunate, I'd say. So, you know, you look to free up 40-man spots for those guys, and there's not that many. And then, obviously, you need free 40-man spots for when you want to sign another free agent or when you want to make a two-for-one trade or things of that nature. So, yeah, you know, I think you just take it on a case-by-case basis. You keep everybody on the 40-man. You always look to protect your inventory until you have to make a decision. And so I don't think they're going to go through and just purge a bunch of people at the end of the year just to do it.
Good answer. I was curious about that. Andy, thank you so much. We will see you shortly at the ballpark.
Okay, see you soon, Marty.
All right, that is Andy Bagley at CSN Bags on Twitter.